Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Oh, I love communion. You know, if you look at communion properly, and what the Bible says when Paul says that we do it in remembrance. Because the world has a way, and the world's thinking and forgetfulness and just being lazy has a way of sneaking in. And the next thing you know, we're living a life without Jesus. Even though we know Him, He's there for us. But we're just not walking in the promises. We're not walking in the Word. We're not walking in the forgiveness that He provided for us. We're carrying guilt and shame and condemnation. And so communion is a time to remember those things are not for us because of what Jesus did for us. Amen? You know, thank you guys. Thank you so much. There was a story in the news. You guys know I'm a little bit of a news junkie. There was a story in the news this week about a homeless man, and the police officers helped him to get an ID. He had been on the streets for years and, you know, just... Obviously, I mean, being homeless and living on the streets, I mean, that's just horrible. And so the police officers helped him to get an ID, and because they got the ID, they discovered that he had a forgotten bank account that had enough money in it to pay for him to have permanent housing. Isn't that amazing? But, you know, when I read that story, I thought, you know, that's like a lot of believers. We can walk around spiritually homeless, not walking in the promises of God, the protection of God, the blessings of God, the forgiveness of God, the restoration of God, the healing of God, all that Jesus did for us, He paid the price. We can walk around as if we don't have it, just like that homeless guy was doing. He was living as if he had no money, but he had enough money to have permanent housing. How many know that's quite a bit of money? And you know what? You don't have to walk around with unforgiveness. You don't have to walk around with condemnation and guilt and shame because you already have forgiveness and restoration and redemption through Jesus. Amen? And so, you know, we need to do a checkup and make sure that we don't have a lost spiritual bank account. Amen? That has all of our spiritual blessings in it, and we're not walking in them because we've forgotten them. They're still there. They still have the power to do what Jesus intended them to do, but because we have forgotten them, we're not walking in them. And so, you know, this time of communion is a time to remember a great price was paid for you to have a good life. Amen. Amen. A great price was paid for you to walk in forgiveness of your sins. Amen. A great price was paid for you to walk in the authority of the believer. Let's not be like that homeless guy and have to get down to the bottom before somebody helps us remember we've got a forgotten bank account. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. It's so good to be here. I wasn't here on Wednesday night. I had a little bit of a cold, but thank God for His healing power. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. And is it me or is it hot in here? It might be me. Woo! It might be. So, who said it's cold? I bet somebody. All the thin people, all the skinny people are saying it's cold in here. That's what it is. You know, we tell those thin people, bring a jacket. Well, hallelujah. But I believe that my voice, be in agreement with me, that my voice will get through this service and next. Amen. They have to sing all my favorite songs today that I can't help but sing along to, right? Those are all my favorites that they just sang. But we're in our third week of Why? Honest Answers to Tough Questions. And I always encourage people that God is not afraid of your why. He's not afraid of your question. God is big enough to answer questions that you have. Amen? And sometimes people think, Oh, if I have questions, that means I'm not in faith. No, if you have questions, that means you have what? Questions. You're just looking for answers. It doesn't mean you're ready to throw everything out because you have a question. It just means I have a question. And so God's not afraid of your question. He'll answer your question. The Word answers our questions. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. He'll help you. And so we're in our series the third week, and today is probably one of the, I've taught a similar message. Praise the Lord. He's going to help me today. But I've taught similar messages to this before, but today I'm going to go into a little bit more in detail. And it's, why do bad things happen to good people? How many have ever had that question? Like, why did God, a lot of times I hear people say, when I talk to people about Jesus, they'll say, well, why did God let that happen? Anybody ever have that question? Why did God let that happen? Why does that happen? And so these aren't bad questions. It's a valid question, but I want to encourage you that the Word has answer for you. Amen? And so today we're going to talk about why bad things do happen. How many ever had a bad thing happen? How many ever were like, why did that happen? Right? And so today we're going to just talk about that because, you know, a lot of times they say, why is there sickness? Why is there poverty? Why are, you know, when, especially when a child dies. That stirs a lot of questions in us. Why would that happen? When we see on the news and we see tornadoes and tsunamis and hurricanes and you know, weather-related deaths and things that happen, we're like, man, why does that happen? You know, nobody likes to hear, and nobody wants to hear the cancer, the C word. Why does that happen? Why is all this happening, and why does God allow it to happen? And so we need to answer some questions. And today, that's the question we're going to answer. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because we know that God is good. Or maybe you're here today and you're not so sure God is good. Because if you don't know God and you see those things happening, you will question who God is if you don't know His character. Have you ever had, I'm very blessed. I grew up in a stable home, and my dad is awesome, and he was always there. And I know a lot of people don't have that experience. I was very blessed, and I recognize that. But, you know, if somebody were to come and tell me that my dad did something awful, I wouldn't believe it for a second. Why? Because I know him. I have a relationship with him. I know his character. I know how he responds in situations. I'm 47 years old, and I've never missed a Father's Day with my dad. I mean, that's how close we are. I know him. And so when it comes to God, when you know God, and you know his character, which is revealed through the Word of God, and through the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, he will reveal to you the character and the nature of God. And that in itself will answer many questions that we have. There are some things when people ask a question, if we know the character and we know that person, we'll be like, that's not them. Or there's more to this story, right? And so let's look at the character of God. Because if you don't know who God is, we'll falsely blame and accuse him. God gets blamed for a lot of stuff that he had no hand in. A lot of stuff. And some would teach and share that God causes bad things to come on us. To teach us, to tempt us, or to punish us. But let's look at what the Word of God actually says about God. Amen? And so over here, you can follow along on the Bible app on your phone. And you got all my notes on there. I try to make it as in-depth as possible because these are good questions. And so through the week, if you think about it, you can go back to your notes on your Bible app. In James chapter 1, verses 16 and 18, as we uncover the character of God, it says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers. So let's just stop right there. If the Bible says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers, and we've learned, we know, and maybe you don't know, I'll tell you today, when the Bible says brothers, it's talking to those in the body of Christ, talking to believers, talking to people just like you, people in church. And so it says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers. So what does that tell me? It tells me that it's possible for church people to be deceived. Just because you go to church doesn't mean you know everything. Amen. Somebody look at somebody and say, amen. 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 Just because you go to church doesn't necessarily mean you know everything. And honestly, just because you stand behind a pulpit doesn't mean you know everything. There's a whole lot of stuff I don't know. But the reason that bad doctrine comes is because people aren't bold enough to say, I don't know, let me find out. They want to make something up because they're too prideful to say, I don't know. And so it says, don't be deceived. So let's just make a point. Say, you know what, I'm not going to be deceived. I'm not going to be deceived. I'm not going to be lied to, tricked, or led to believe something that doesn't line up with the Word of God. It says, don't be deceived, my dear brothers. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. What we want to really look at there is verse number 17. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above. So when I think about what comes from God, God is telling me that things that come from him are good and perfect. Are good and perfect. Let's look at another one. 1 John 4, 7 and 8 says, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God because, let's say the last part with us, God is love. So we've learned that good and perfect things come from him, and he is love. Let's look at another one. Luke 11, 11 and 13, it says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Anybody? Which of you fathers? Nobody. Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Verse number 13, if you then, though you are evil, that just means of this world, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? God is going to give you, if a biological father, if a natural father didn't give his child anything to eat, if he asked for a fish, he gave him a snake, if he asked for an egg, he gave him a scorpion, put a scorpion in his bed, where would we see that father? On the news. We'd see that father on the news. We'd be like, man, there's something wrong with that guy, right? And you know what? Unfortunately, there are fathers who are on the news. But you know what? Our Heavenly Father, he says, listen, if a natural father, if a biological father knows how to be good, how much more so does your Heavenly Father know to be good, right? Let's read another one. Matthew 6, 9 through 13. It says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. How many recognize this? Right? Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's just stop right there. This is telling me that the will of God is the same for the earth as it is in heaven. Right? Now what it says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How many think there's cancer in heaven? No. Starvation, poverty, tsunamis, death, murder, violence, all the horrible things you can think of. Has anybody ever thought those things occurred in heaven? No. And since this is one of the most famous prayers there is, it says, your kingdom come. A kingdom is a kingdom is his way of doing things. If a king rules a kingdom, how many know the king's way goes? And so it says, your kingdom or your way of doing things, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when you think about what is the will of God, when you see the news and you see horrible things happen, you think, man, is that the will of God? Is that what God wants? Because that's what God's will is. It's what he wants. Is that what God wants? You can say, well, is that what's happening in heaven? No. So that's not the will of God. But then we have the question, well, then why does it happen? So let's keep going. How many with us so far? You guys here still? All right. And then we think, well, doesn't God use stuff to tempt us? You know, I don't know how, when people say that, say, oh, God is tempting me. There's a part of me that is unsanctified. I know that's hard for you to imagine, right? Say yes, it is. Make me feel better. There's a part of me that just wants to get like real close to their face, you know, real close to their face and just be like, seriously, read your Bible, right? There are so many people on TV and around where you just want to say, dude, have you even read the Bible? Have you even read it? Because you know what? The Bible says in James 1, 13 and 15, it says, and this is so clear, when tempted, how many have ever been tempted? Yeah, we've all been tempted. When tempted, no one should say, so who should say?
No one
should say, God is tempting me. That's pretty clear, right? For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived it, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. You know, we listen to the Bible while we're going to sleep, because it just helps us sleep. And so we've been listening to the Message Bible, and this translation, it says, when lust, out of the Message Bible, it says, when lust is pregnant, it gives birth to sin. So I'm laying in bed, and I hear, when lust is pregnant, I'm like, what? It gives birth to sin. And you know, the thing is, that's true, because when temptation comes, who tempted Jesus? The enemy tempted Satan. I mean, tempted Jesus. Says he tempted him in those three ways. And so when we're tempted, why do we automatically think, oh, God is tempting me? It doesn't work like that. And so let's read another one. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. So don't think you're the only one getting tempted. Everybody does. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So when the enemy is tempting, when the world is tempting us, when our own fleshly desire is tempting us to go and do and go and see or watch or say something we shouldn't, the Bible says that that's not God doing that. He's the one that's going to provide a way out for you. Yes, amen? He's the one. And you know what that is? That's the grace of God. Yes. The grace of God is the power of God, the ability of God to come in and say, you know what? The grace, God's riches is coming to you. His mercy, his power, his love is going to come and empower you, and it provides a way out. So when that temptation comes, don't be like, oh, is this God tempting me? No, look and say, God, you're gonna give me the power to walk out of this. You're gonna give me the power to stand up under this temptation and say no. So God doesn't tempt us. So now we know that good and perfect things come from God. We know that he's not the one that tempts us, that God is love. We see his character. We see that his will on this earth is the same as it is in heaven. Amen? That's something, you know, I've been meditating on that. And it's like, there are some things in my life, I'm sure in your life, where it's just like, you know what? This is not heaven worthy. This is not heaven worthy. I believe God has better for me. Amen? I'm content here, like Paul said, I'm content in all things. I'm happy and I trust and I love God, but I know God's got more joy for me. He's got more restoration of brokenness on the inside of me. He has more power for me, because there are just some things. It's like, man, this is good, but it is not heaven worthy. God has better. Anybody believe God's got better? I believe God's got better. Amen. But listen, don't get me off on that. Here we go. So we're talking about that God doesn't tempt us. The thing to remember is that God calls himself our Father over and over and over and over and over in the Bible. He wants us to see that he is our Father. Even says he is Abba Father, which is a way of saying Daddy. He is our Father. And God is not, say not, a child abuser. He's not a child abuser. He may discipline us. You know, the Bible says God corrects those he loves. So God will correct us, but let me tell you, correction never comes without direction. God will correct you out of something and lead you into the right way. But he never does it using the enemy's tools. He won't wound you, hurt you, maim you, or kill you. He will not do that. It's not in his character. He's a father. What kind of a father, if a father did that? You know, there's the old story. I hate this story. There's the old story about the shepherd, that he'll break the leg of the lamb to keep it from. If a kid kept getting out of the yard and the dad was like, you know what? Give me that leg. And snapped it. Where would we find that father? On the news. And in jail. Right? Rightfully so. But you know what? It sounds very religious and spiritual. Listen, just because something sounds religious or sounds godly doesn't mean it is. Amen? That's just, you need to grab a hold of that. Just because something sounds godly and somebody says it with a deep voice, right? You know, and it's James Earl Jones type of a voice, and they're saying something just because they say it and it sounds like God talking doesn't mean it is. What do we say? Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. All right, so let's go here. Let's answer these questions. Why? So then, we know that God is good. We know that he doesn't tempt us. So now we're going to say, well, then why do bad things happen? Why do bad things happen? And you're not going to like reason number one. Just look at your neighbors here. You're not going to like this. You're not going to like this one. But I'm bold enough to say it. It could be we'll never know. It could be you'll never know why certain things happen. It could be you'll never know. And especially when it involves people, because you never know what's going on inside somebody. You don't know. I can't tell you how many times, well, I could tell you how many, but I won't. More than once. I've been with someone, and you know, and they're very sick, and the sickness has come, and their family will leave the room, and they will grab my hand and say, I'm just tired. I'm just tired and I want to go home. I'm ready to go. They don't want to say it to their family because how can you tell your kids that are crying and you know, grown kids, we're not talking about young people, but grown kids, they're crying and saying, oh, hold on, dad, hold on, that you're tired and you're ready to go home. You can't tell them that. But you know what? It'd be better if you did, because then there's not so many questions afterwards. Amen. Amen. If you're ready to go, be bold enough to say, I'm ready to go. Amen? Amen. But the thing is that when it says, how can, some things we're not going to know. Some things you're never going to be able to figure out. You're going to have to wait till you get to heaven and say, God, what was up with that? I didn't understand that. I didn't get that. And so the Bible tells us over here in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. Verse number 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so, there's just some things that maybe we won't understand, but this scripture doesn't give us license to say that God still does something not according to his will. There are just some things we don't understand. And so, when we don't understand things, you can ask the Lord. But a lot of times when you ask it, you got to wait on an answer. And we still may not understand it. There are mysteries. There are things that happen. And there are things that happen that I've seen. It's just like, man, I don't get that. I don't understand that. But I know the word is still true. Amen? Amen? And so number two reason why bad things could happen. We're just going to talk about some possibilities, some maybes. Ready for some maybes? We had maybes last week. Why don't my prayers get answered? So today we're going to have some more maybes. This isn't an exhaustive list. This isn't all the answers, but it's some answers. Okay? And so it could be that it's a sign of the end times. How many believe we're in the end times? Lots of people believe we're in the end times. And we very well could be in the end times. But I never get really excited about that because they've been saying and had most of the signs for as long as I can remember. And so I always look at it this way. It doesn't matter if it's the end times. It's still my end times. You have one life to live. But there are times, and you know, we see, and there's the blood moon and all that stuff. And I think we could definitely say that we are in the end times. And so Luke chapter 21, 8 through 11, he says, But it's important to remember, just a side note here, is that Peter thought he was in the end times as well. So, let's just keep going. So you're like, really? Yes. It says, watch out. He replied, watch out that you are not deceived. Again, he's saying, don't be deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. Verse number 9. When you hear of wars and revolutions, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Verse number 10. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famines, and pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven. And so there are things that must happen because it is the end times. And so when we see wars and famines and earthquakes and these things, you say, why is that happening? It could be happening because we are in the end times. And there are things according to the word that must happen for the return of Jesus. And it's not that God is orchestrating them. It is because, and we'll get to this point, we live in a fallen world. And so let's go to number 3. It could be, look at your neighbor and say, it could be an attack of the enemy. Now, some people are foolish enough to believe that there is no devil. And you know what? The enemy has deceived you the most. Because you're going to blame God for everything. You're going to give God credit for the good, and you're going to blame him for the bad. Because you think he's all there is. But there is an enemy. And how you can look at the suffering of this world and not realize that, I don't understand that. There is a devil. And he is not running around in red pajamas with a pitchfork and horns on his head. That's not what he is. But he is a being that is evil. And his sole purpose is to kill, the Bible says, to steal, and to destroy. That is his purpose. And over in John 10:10, that's where he says, it says, the thief comes. Who comes? The thief, or the enemy comes, only to steal and kill and destroy. And this is Jesus talking. He said, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I like the Message Bible that says, have life to the fullest. Doesn't that sound good? But who comes to steal? The enemy. Who comes to kill? The enemy. Who comes to destroy? The enemy. But Jesus says, I have come. He says, listen, that's why he's here. And notice it says the thief comes with an S. He keeps coming. He keeps coming. But Jesus said, I came. I came. When Jesus came, he took care of the enemy. He took care of him. The enemy, and if you don't understand this, and you may not, and that's why you need to keep coming to church. Amen? Because you're not gonna understand all the things of the word in one message. But the enemy is defeated. Amen. He is defeated. And the Bible says that he goes about and he's like a roaring lion. And he is seeking, he's looking for whom he, what's the next word? Whom he may devour. He's looking for people who are deceived. He is looking for people that don't know that he is defeated. That's who he's looking for. He's looking for somebody who's sitting homeless on the streets with nothing, forgetting that they have a spiritual bank account that says that you are protected and loved and cared for by the Most High God. That's who he's looking for. And so when we think about this and we say, man, why did bad stuff happen? Well, it could be that it's an attack of the enemy. Jesus made it very clear what the purpose of Satan was and what he is, what Jesus is. He says he's the good shepherd. Now, this isn't in your notes, but turn over to Luke chapter 13, verse number 16. I love this verse. I'm sorry it's not in your notes, but turn over there. Luke chapter 13, verse number 16. Jesus is going about and Jesus is doing what he did all through the New Testament. You know, a lot of times when it comes to sickness, people always think, well, it's God teaching you something. It's God seeing if you're going to remain faithful. It's God doing it. But nowhere, say nowhere.
Nowhere.
nowhere in the Bible does God put sickness on anybody. And the Bible says that when Jesus, you want to find out who God is, follow Jesus through the New Testament, because Jesus said, if you have seen me, you've seen the Father. He said, I only do what my Father tells me to do. So if you want to know who God is, what his character is, what he's like, follow Jesus. And so Jesus, all through the New Testament, it says on many occasions, it says, and Jesus went about doing good and healing all manner of sickness and disease. Amen. All manner of sickness and disease. So he's going about doing good. Nowhere does it say he's going about doing bad. It says he's doing good and he's healing people. And so this is one such occasion. And so in Luke 13:16, it says this. Jesus sees this woman and he says, they're giving Jesus a hard time because he's going to heal somebody on the Sabbath. They're like, hey, you can't do that. It's the Sabbath. You can't do anything on the Sabbath. That was religion. And so Jesus says this. He said, so ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound. Who? Satan has bound. Think of it, for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. And if you go up there, it says that this woman was bent over. She had something wrong with her, and she was bent over for 18 years, couldn't stand up straight. And Jesus goes to heal her. He goes to relieve her of that sickness. Relieve her of it on the Sabbath. And the religious people, the people that are more about rules than the power of God, they're like, you can't do that. This is the Sabbath. But this is what I want you to see. He says, so ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham. He's saying, this is a child of God. Should she not be loosed from this bond of Satan? Where did he say that sickness came from? It's pretty clear. Listen, God doesn't complicate things. People complicate things. People complicate things. And so Jesus says, listen, this lady's been bound up by the enemy, and I'm going to heal her. I don't care if it's a Sabbath or not, because she's a child of God, and this ought not be.
Amen.
Amen? And so when we're saying, oh, you know, I think God did that. No, that's not his character. That's not who he is. That's not what he ever did when he was on this earth. So why would he start doing it now? Right? Because he's the Lord. He says over and over again, I do not change. God hasn't changed. So the Jesus that walked the earth is still the same. The character of God is still the same. And so when we think about where sickness came from, it's from the enemy. And so we say, why do bad things happen? Well, it could be an attack of the enemy. And we need to be careful sometimes because we blame the devil for things he had nothing to do with. You know, a lot of times, and I'm not looking around, and you know, and this could be probably all of us in here, I don't know. But you know, when it comes to financial problems, oh, the devil, boy, he really got me in debt. Did he? Was the devil have you in that, you know, had your army buy it? I said buy it. No, I mean, a lot of times it's our own foolish spending that gets us into situations, right? You know, or a lot of times people say, oh, well, you know, when it comes to certain illnesses, not all, but certain illnesses, a lot of them, you know, we say, oh, well, that runs in my family. Well, listen, I'll tell you what runs in my family. Biscuits and gravy run in my family. All right? Biscuits and gravy and bacon grease and everything my mother cooked. That ran in our family. And so, yeah, some of my family members, we, you know, have some health problems. But it had nothing to do with the devil. It's got to do with, hey, you can't eat biscuits and gravy every day of the week. Right? Amen. You know, our bodies, a lot of times, not all times. Look at your neighbor and say, not all times. Not all times. But sometimes we're blaming the enemy for something that really we had a big hand in. We had a big hand in. And so the enemy, you know, he gets blamed for a lot of stuff. You know, or people say, oh, you know, the enemy got me fired from my job. Say, well, you know, were you a good employee? Oh, yeah. Were you on time? Well, you know, I was late quite a bit. You know, did you work hard? Well, you know, I had to lead people to Jesus. I had to lead people to Jesus on my job. Listen, you're not getting paid on your job to lead people to Jesus. And some like to, what? No, you're there to be an employee for who you work for. And if on your break and on your time you want to lead people to Jesus, that's great. But if you're going to be, you know, when you're supposed to be working and you're over talking to people and having a Bible study, you will get fired. Right? Right? Some of you are like, that's the truth. You're there to work. You know, and some people want to blame the enemy. Oh, I've been persecuted. No, you're just not a good employee. You're not a good employee. That's the truth. We're blaming the enemy for stuff. It's like, hey, that, you know, I think we had a little hand in that, right? And I'm not pointing fingers. Listen, I'd love to blame the enemy for some stuff in my life, but I know it's my own fault. It's my own fault. And that takes us to the next point. It could be, you're going to love this one. It could be, why do bad things happen to good people? It could be because of your own foolish actions and sin. Ooh, the sin word. It could be you're being foolish and you're outside the plan of God for your life, right? And so when we say like, oh, the enemy, I had somebody complaining about a speeding ticket. And I was like, you were the one speeding. Why do we get speeding tickets? Because we speed. I'd say anybody that complains about a speeding ticket, it's like, come on. If you're speeding, you're speeding, right? And so, you know, the thing is, Romans chapter 6, verse number 12 says, therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. It's saying, don't let sin be the boss of you. Don't let the things that are not of God. How many know that's what sin is? Just things that are not of God. It's missing the mark. It could be big things. It could be little things. But God sees it all the same. And he says, don't let that reign in your mortal body. Just because you want to do something doesn't mean it's a good idea. How many figured that out the hard way? Right? Just because you want something doesn't mean it's good for you. Doesn't mean it's going to lead to a good outcome. Just because she's pretty doesn't mean she's the one. Somebody say amen. 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 All right, we'll keep moving there. James 1, 13 and 15 says, when tempted, again, no one should say God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Verse number 14, but each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he is dragged away and enticed. Let's read verse 15. Then after desire has conceived it, what happened? We're letting our own, there's a part of you, say there's a part of me. There's a part of every one of us that wants to do the wrong thing. Every one of us has it. The Bible calls it our flesh nature or our sin nature. All of us have it. Just because you got saved, just because you got born again, just because you love God, doesn't mean that you're perfect, doesn't mean that you automatically want to do all the right things. Right? And that's why it's important that you love people and you don't judge people because you got the same part they got. Right? We all have a part of us that wants to do crazy stuff. All of us do. But you know what? Getting down that road many times, actually every time, is going to lead to destruction in your life. It's going to lead to bad things. Because when you let your sinful desire have reign over you, it's going to lead into an evil part. And that's just no good. It's no good. I've been there. How many have been there? Don't raise your hand. Romans chapter 2. Because you know what? Some people aren't going to raise their hand. Everybody's going to look at them and go, really? Romans chapter 2, 9 and 11 says, there will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First for the Jew, then for the Gentiles. So listen, if you're going to go out, if you're going to go and do your own thing that you know is not the right thing to do, then there's going to be trouble for you. It says, but, verse number 10, but glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. Aren't you glad about that? So listen, we all miss it, but when we just continually are like, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do my own thing, that is going to lead to trouble. And then you're going to sit across from my desk in my office, and you know what you're going to say? I don't know how this happened. I don't know how this happened. And you know what I'm going to say? Well, Hello? Hello? God loves you and God cares for you. But how many of us, and it just, you know, just answer on the inside, how many of us have ever just been in a situation and we know that we know that we know that we know that opening that door is the wrong decision? It is wrong. But you know what we do? We just go right through thinking, oh, it'll be all right. It's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. And God loves you and God cares for you. But here's the thing. The longer you continue down that road, the more you open the door for being outside the plan of God. And when you are outside the plan of God, then you're not walking in the same relationship with God. God isn't into making you suffer, but God cannot violate your will. Your will. And so, you know, I remember I was on a trip one time. I'll tell on myself. I went on this trip, and before I went, I just knew that I wasn't supposed to go on this trip. I knew I wasn't supposed to go. But it was going to be so fun. It was going to be so fun, and I didn't want to be a stick in the mud, and I didn't want to say no, and I was just like, I'm going to go. So I went. And even my brother came and told me, he said, are you sure you should go on this trip? I was like, oh, it'll be fine. I'll be fine. Well, you know what happened on that trip? And God had nothing to do with it. Because it's kind of, you know, we've all seen the umbrella illustration. When you stand under the umbrella, you're protected from the rain. But when you walk out from the umbrella, what happens? You get wet. And so I was on this trip, and I was hang gliding. True story. I was hang gliding, not very well, I may add. And I'd gone through all the training, was ready. I was doing my first big, I was jumping off Lookout Mountain. And so I go flying off Lookout Mountain on my hang glider. Guess what happens? I ended up crashing into Lookout Mountain. I went out because of my inexperience and because I just wasn't supposed to be there. The wind caught my kite, turned me right back into the mountain, and I crashed right into it. Broke my elbow. I was pretty injured. And, you know, I couldn't blame God. I couldn't be like, why did this happen? Because you know what? As soon as I came to, and as soon as I was all right, I was like, man, I do not even want to hear my brother say, I told you. I told you so. Because you know what? As soon as I got home, you know what he said? I told you not to go. You should have listened. But the truth of the matter is, I was in a situation I shouldn't have been in. I was with people, and it just wasn't a good situation. And I knew. And so why did that bad thing happen? Because of my own foolishness and my own desire to just walk right past the unction of the Holy Spirit saying to me, you shouldn't go. And you know what? The whole time I was there, I kept thinking, I shouldn't be here. But did I go home? No. You know, I would love to say that's the only time that ever happened, but just like you, it's probably not, right? And so why do bad things happen? A lot of times it's because we're just boneheads. That's a real spiritual way to say it. We're just boneheads. You know, God has set up guidelines and boundaries within the Word of God, and they're not there to keep us from fun. They're there to keep us from harm and evil. Amen. There are boundaries. There are guidelines. It's like guardrail. This is like a guardrail for your life. And just like on the highway, as long as you stay away from the guardrail, you stay on the road, you're going to be okay. But you try to get across that, and you're going to be off-road. Off-road. God set guidelines and boundaries for us. And you know, we've got to see, many see God's word as restrictive and confining, when the reality is it provides freedom and liberty to keep us from getting tangled in the cares of this life and this world. This does not keep me from anything. It frees me to live the life that God has for me. Amen? And that is a life with no chains. No chains. No restriction. God has set this for me to keep me safe. And so next reason why that bad things could be happening, it could be a result of living in this corrupt world. You know, this world is decaying. How many see that? It is decaying. It is changing. It is different now than it was. It is changing. It is dying in many ways. And you know, the Bible tells us in John 16:33, it says, I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. But he says, in this world you will have trouble. Don't be so shocked when trouble comes, because Jesus himself said, in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen? You know, how many have ever experienced the negative result of gravity? The negative result of gravity. Anybody ever been on something and all of a sudden you lose your balance and gravity takes, you know, the law of gravity. Boom! And so there are parts of this world, because it is a fallen world, that are harmful to us. That are harmful to us. And you know, has anyone ever noticed that, you know, because of your age, certain body parts don't work as well as they did several years ago? Why? It's because you're older. You know, every time we have a church picnic and I see all those guys out there playing football, I'm like, people are going to be calling in sick tomorrow. Better get the Aleve out because they're going to need it. There are just some things that as you get older, you it's harder for you. It's harder. Your body doesn't recover as well. Why? Because it is aged. Well, you know what? That's part of this fallen world. That's part of it. It's part of being here. John 12:31 says, Jesus refers to Satan as the prince of this world. And 2 Corinthians 4:4, he refers to him as the god of this age. And you know what? Corruption and decay and chemicals in this world, they cause our bodies to wear out. And so why do some bad things happen? It could be just because we live in a fallen world. You know, pollution and all these things, that's just part of this world. But the Bible says I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. And so this is just a time being for us. We've got heaven to gain. But why do bad things happen? It could be it's just part of the fallen world. You know, they say that there's more earthquakes now because of the decay on the earth. Well, who caused that? That goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden, when Adam turned over the lease of this world to the enemy, and he became the god of this world. And so there is evil, but thank God for Jesus, right? And then real quick, the last one, it really, I know we were joking about it, but it could be persecution for your faith. It could be. In John 15:20, it says, remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. This is Jesus talking. It says, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. Listen, people are not going to like you. No matter how wonderful you are, no matter the sparkling personality you have, no matter how fabulous you are, generous, loving, kind you are, there are people that will not like you simply because you love Jesus. And so if you're gossiped about, or you could lose a job, or you could not get a promotion. You know, I've heard of people that didn't get a promotion because the higher ups were like, we don't want a Jesus freak on our company retreat. True story, that really happened. They're like, we don't want that person. Because they put a wet blanket on all the fun of the company retreat. And so they didn't promote the person. And so that was because of persecution for their faith. And you know, bad things can happen because of that. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:10, it says, that is why for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness and insults and hardships and persecutions in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Listen, don't get all worked up when people don't like you because of your faith. Be glad that it's just that they don't like you. Because you know what? There are many countries in this world that just because of your faith in Jesus, you are persecuted physically. You are harmed physically. And you are killed in many cases. And so don't get all worked up because somebody's gossiping about you. Be thankful you're not in a prison somewhere. Only because you love Jesus. And so, you know, when we think about all these things, when we think about why does bad stuff happen, it's important when you see bad stuff to always go back to the character of God. When it's sickness, always remember, Jesus never put sickness on anybody. When you don't understand something, remember, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world where the enemy is the God of this world, God with a little g. We live in a world where there are people that are influenced and used by the enemy to bring about his plan and his will. But always remember as well that Jesus said that in this world you will have trouble, but what did he say next? But I have overcome this world. Listen, whatever persecution or bad things happen, you got to remember God's going to get you through it. He didn't put you in it, but he will get you through it. Reading from James 1, 2 and 5 out of the Message. It says, consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. If you didn't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get his help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. You know, when stuff happens, we got to always trust God. When there are questions, always go back to the Word. Because the reason bad things happen ultimately is to get people to lose faith in God. To get people to abandon the plan of God for their life and for the church. Because if you'll abandon it, the enemy will have his way. And so he'll have you question, well, why did this happen? Why did this happen? Don't focus on the why. Go back to God and who he is and who he is in you, who you are to him. Amen? And that will answer a lot of your questions. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are our healer and that your word says that only good and perfect things come from above. Lord, we thank you that in our own weaknesses and in our sin and at our worst, that Jesus, you said you loved us enough to die for us on the cross. And we thank you for that. We thank you for that. And so right now, before we take one step further, if you're here today and maybe you've been taught that God puts sickness on people or God does bad things to teach us a lesson, I hope today you've learned through the Word of God that that is not what he does. He loves you. He has a plan for you. He wants to help you stand up under anything this world is throwing at you. He loves you. So if you're here today and maybe you need to come back to God. Maybe you need to come to him for the first time and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're in this world and you're saying, man, I've had a lot of bad stuff happen and I've been blaming God, but now I know that he's the one that's going to help me through it, help me overcome it, help me get my victory. He's not the one doing it. He's the one that's going to pull me through it. Maybe you need to start your relationship with God fresh today and say, Lord, I want to give you all of me for all of you, for all your love, for all your help, for all of you, Lord. Come and help me. Come and save me. Come and forgive me. Come and empower me to stand up to this temptation. Come and empower me to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Come and empower me to stand up bold and say, I want the will of God in my life. Help me, Lord. But all that begins by just saying yes to Jesus. So if you're here today with nobody looking around just for a minute, maybe you've never said yes to Jesus. You've never said, Jesus, I want to give you all of me for all of you. I want to give you my heart. I want to give you all my mistakes, all my screw-ups. I want to give it all to you in exchange for your salvation. in exchange for you forgiving me for all my sins, restoring me from all my brokenness, and empowering me for all my days ahead. If you're ready to make a great exchange, say, Jesus, all of me for all of you. Just raise your hand up big and tall and say, Peggy, that's me. I'm ready. I'm ready to give Jesus all of me for all of him. I'm ready to receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, we thank you that you love us and you've got a plan for us. Help us always remember who you are when we look at what's happening in this world. Let us not be deceived, but always remember the truth that our God is good. In Jesus' name, so I'll say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We're running a little bit over time, which I'm going to. So we're going to receive our offering real quick. Who's ready?